live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. Meanwhile, the general manager of the hospital says he believes it would take an increase of between 3 and 5 million euro to help address the underlying reasons for the sharp increase in the number of patients awaiting beds at the hospital. Gardaí have confirmed that they are not ruling out a connection between two instances of criminal damage in Letterkenny in recent days. And tributes have been paid to the Donegal woman who died in Kerry following a kayaking accident at the weekend. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. 138 people have registered at the emergency department since yesterday morning at 8 o'clock until 8 o'clock this morning, which the hospital says is significantly higher than the average number of patients per day. In a statement, the hospital says efforts are continuing to be made to identify patients who are appropriate for discharge. People are again being reminded to only attend the ED in the case of real emergencies and to contact their GP or GP out of our service in the first instance. According to the INMO, the hospital was the third most overcrowded in the country today, with 47 people awaiting inpatient beds there this morning. Meanwhile, the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says he believes it would take an increase of between 3 and 5 million euro to help address the underlying reasons for the sharp increase in the number of patients awaiting beds at the hospital. Sean Murphy told today's 9 till noon show that there's been a 10% increase in activity at the hospital, which requires an average of 15 more beds each day, when approximately 20 beds would be freed up if people who don't need acute care could be discharged more quickly into the community. Mr. Murphy said better home health provision would assist, as will the proposed new community hospital in Letterkenny. However, he told Greg Hughes that there are no easy answers.
I'm not a believer in silver bullets. I think people want easy answers. They're not, because the pressures and the problems on the health service are complicated, and therefore the answers have got to be complex. It's got to be a combination of things, and the community hospital in Letterkenny will be a significant benefit and a significant contributor. First of all, it'll increase capacity in the community, but secondly, there are days when we have patients on trolleys in our emergency department and we have beds in a community hospital, but the patients are ready to be discharged are from a different part of the county and they don't want to take the beds. If there was a community hospital next door to us, I think that would be a much
but other things, sorry.
You also said at the outset about Letterkenny having one of the highest numbers of patients waiting to get into a ward bed. Remember, we've also got one of the highest number of emergency admissions in the country.
But why don't you have a bigger budget then? I mean, are you getting, how close to the budget that you're asking for are you getting?
We've seen our budget increase.
How short are you? How much do you need?
I would say we are somewhere between 3 and 5 million short of what we, what I would like to see us having. We opened an extra 10 beds this year in the short stay ward. And that has actually helped. Although the numbers are still high, it has helped. Using an average of 15 more beds because of increased activity, and we're losing 20 beds because of community. So we're down 35 beds on average. 10 beds only makes a dent in that.
The Children's Minister has pledged to meet with TUSLAN, the Board of Parents Stop in Donegal, in a bid to prevent its closure. Catherine Sapone pledged that funding would be maintained and efforts redoubled to find additional funding sources. She was responding to a Shannon motion from Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin, who said Parents Stop has supported over 400 families. He called for a pilot project to be initiated in Donegal based on Parents Stop's success to date and aimed towards providing a sustainable funding model. Senator McLaughlin welcomed the Minister's commitment, but said other agencies are not as forthcoming.
I welcome the fact that you're going to meet with the Board of Parents Stop later this month. It's very, very welcome. I do feel other agencies and departments have failed Parents Stop. The problem has been that other agencies and departments have not stepped up. Despite your forbearance in your department and TUSLA's, other agencies have not match funded. So the only concern I would have about your statement is that it talks about maintaining the existing level of funding, which at 68,000, wouldn't be enough for them in 2020. Now, I have corresponded myself with the HSE in Donegal, and I've asked them, can they put some money on the table to make it sustainable in 2020? So just, Minister, just put that to you. Is that something you would agree with, that we need more money from the HSE on the table with your own departments to give them a budget that they can work with, and then hopefully build the service? We can't lose this service, Minister. It's unimaginable.
Minister Sapohan said she would consult with Minister Joe McHugh on the possibility of a pilot programme, but would give no firm commitments on what funding increases, if any, could be offered. However, she said all agencies are committed to the project.
And I can understand how important this is, I really do. And you speak eloquently about their what they have done for the community and the children and families. The second thing to say is, though, I understand that they are, you know, that what's going on now is putting together plans for a sustainable funding model. And as you well would be aware and appreciate, that every community or voluntary organization is responsible to do that for themselves. But because of the work that they've done and because of the particular issues that they're faced with now, I think some of TUSLA and the HSE stepping in to try to support them with that, and very happy to do so. I am aware, and I've spoken with Minister McHugh as well in relation to this, and I think your pilot project that you reference. So I don't know what the figures are, so I'd have to look and see before I commit, certainly, I'll go to the HSE. But what I can say is, I think we're aware of the challenge that is facing the organization, the great contribution that they have made, and that we are in planning mode. And I do look forward to meeting them later, towards the end of the month. And I hope that that ultimately will put them on the sustainable path that it sounds as if they deserve.
Tributes have been paid to the Donegal woman who died in Kerry following a kayaking accident at the weekend. 21-year-old Aisling O'Connor from Ballyshannon was rescued along with a 21-year-old man after getting into difficulty while kayaking a river in Killarney on Saturday afternoon. It's understood the pair, both members of University Limerick's kayaking club, got into difficulty when their kayaks upturned in the river. The man is believed to be in a stable condition. Local councillor Barry Sweeney told today's 9 till noon show that Aisling's family has a long history of community involvement.
Aisling was a granddaughter of Anthony Begley, local historian, and Anthony and Mary, indeed, both give so much to the community over the years. It was in her blood to be a community person also, and she was a bright spark. She had a very, very promising career ahead of her, promising life, and she had so much more to give. She gave so much, but she had so much more to give.
An investigation has been launched following a number of instances of criminal damage in Letterkenny in recent days. A shed was extensively damaged and a car satellite in the Glencar Irish area, while a lorry was destroyed in a blaze at a construction site in the Longmeen area in the early hours of Friday morning last. Gardaí are appealing to anyone who may have noticed anything suspicious in the area between 1:30 and 1:45 a.m. on Friday morning to come forward. Gardaí Sean Sweeney says they are not ruling out a link between both incidents.
So if anybody's in the area, Long Lane, around that time and can offer any information in relation to this incident, could please contact Gardaí Letterkenny 07491 67100. The same night, this happened again, 1st November, the early hours of Friday morning, between 1:30 a.m. and 1:45. So a shed containing a car was set alight here. The shed was very close to the house, which also could have been set alight. The fire brigade attended the scene, so CCTV has been viewed, and there was a male observed on the footage. So if anybody's in the area and notice a lone male walking in the area around that time, can they offer any information, please call Letterkenny Garda Station. That's something we'll be looking into too, to see, again, that's we'll be looking for people to come forward to see, could we establish whether there was a link between them.
Meanwhile, a car has been stolen from a home at Churchview in St Johnston. The theft happened between Friday evening last at around 7:30 p.m. and Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. The car, a black Volkswagen Passat, was parked on the driveway of the home. Garda Sweeney urged anyone who has any information to contact Letterkenny Garda Station.
So this is a black Volkswagen Passat with the registration of PK60NBM. So if anybody, again, has any information in relation to the theft of the car or its current whereabouts, please contact Gardaí in Letterkenny. If you see anything either, even if it is in the north, contact the PSNI.
There's calls in the government for a new cross-border agency to bring criminal warlords to heel. The Fianna Fáil leader has said the rule of law is gone in some border counties. It comes after the vicious attack on Quinn Industrial Holdings executive Kevin Lunney. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin says action is needed.
And I think that does mean a cab-like joint agency, multidisciplinary, between PSNI, On Gardaí and others. Now, a task force will not cut it. It needs statutory underpinning. And to send a message once and for all to these warlords.
Thank you, Deputy.
Enough is enough, and we're not taking it anymore.
There is to be a new inquest into the death of Derry schoolgirl Rachel Ferguson, who died at Auchnagarlan Hospital in 2001 after what was supposedly a routine appendix operation. Last year, an inquiry determined she died after being administered with a lethal dose of intravenous fluids, and there was a reluctance among clinicians to openly acknowledge failings. Foyle MP Alicia McCallion is urging the Western Trust to cooperate fully with the inquest to ensure the Ferguson family can get the answers they deserve. A meeting on insurance reform is getting underway in the Finn Valley on Thursday night. The meeting will be open to the public and will discuss the extortionate costs of insurance for both businesses and ordinary consumers. It's taking place in the Finn Valley Centre in Stranorlar at 8 o'clock, with people who have been affected by insurance costs urged to attend. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty will be hosting the event. He says it's vital to hear as many stories as possible in order to strengthen the campaign to end what he terms is the insurance rip-off.
People will know that I have been successful in starting an investigation by the central bank into the practices of the insurance companies, and also the finance committee the following week will begin their investigations into the industry on the foot of my request. So it's important that we have real life stories, that people are fully aware of what is happening, and I appeal to everybody to come out to the Finn Valley Athletic Centre at 8 o'clock on Thursday night.
And we know that you have done a tremendous amount of work on this issue already, collating a lot of evidence, but as you mentioned, I suppose the more case studies you have, the better come Thursday.
Absolutely, and in a number of the case studies that we submitted in the 130-page document to the central bank and to the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, there was a number of those that came from Donegal, and they added a huge value to the evidence that we were providing. And that was said to me in the one-to-one meetings with the agencies, that it was invaluable to have those type of case studies. So it is important to hear what the experience is, but it is also important just to have people power to. I want to start a grassroots campaign to take on this industry and to force government to take the necessary action that is needed. It's now 3 years ago since I introduced legislation on the insurance industry. It is only going to pass the final stages in the Dáil this month, because the government held it up for over 2.5 years. It's only through people pressure and awareness that we are able to force the government, that we're able to force the central bank and other agencies to actually take on this industry in the way that they should be taken on.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny, where their Christmas club is now open. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games and the big news today. Of course, Frank McGlynn has announced his retirement from inter-county football. That's after 14 seasons. McGlynn was a part of the 2012 All-Ireland winning squad. As well as that, he won 5 Ulster championships. And the Glenfinn man also received a place in the All-Star team and a Footballer of the Year nomination following Donegal's 2012 All-Ireland triumph. In a statement this morning, McGlynn said it was an honour to have worn the Donegal jersey. He enjoyed every minute of it, and he made memories both on and off the field that he'll never forget. He thanked the manager Declan Boner and wished the current squad all the best for 2020. Elsewhere, father and son Sean Paul and Luke Barrett will be leading 2 Donegal teams next season. The Milford pair were confirmed as the county's new under-20 and under-17 managers at last night's county committee meeting. The committee also agreed to appoint Michael McCann for a further year as the hurling manager, with the option of a fourth year. Meanwhile, David McClune agreed to remain in his position as county development officer for next year. Elsewhere, the Ulster Council has insisted that finish on the day protocols will apply to the provincial club semi-finals, despite some opposition towards penalty shootouts and games. There has been much debate on the format, although the method is in place in other provinces and counties. Ulster Council PRO Declan Woods said the method will absolutely be in place for the semi-finals, but the Ulster club finals will go to a replay if required. Moving on to soccer, and both Tyler Toland, who plays with Manchester City, and Amber Barrett of FC Cologne have been included in Vera Pauw's 24-player squad for the UEFA Women's Euro 2021 qualifier away to Greece. The qualifier, which will be Ireland's third of the campaign, will take place in Athens on Tuesday, November the 12th. Kickoff will be 1 o'clock Irish time. Back locally, the Ulster Senior League representatives Cockhill Celtic and Bonagie United have both been handed home ties in the third round of the Intermediate Cup. Both clubs face Cork opposition. Cockhill, they play Middleton of the Munster Senior League. Bonagie, they play Lakewood Athletic from Ballincollig, who play in the Munster Senior League second division. The winners of that third round ties will gain automatic entry into the extra.ie FAI Cup qualifying round for the 2020 season. Those third round fixtures have to be played before November the 24th. And the LYT men's soccer team have defeated Colostia Stephen Nefa 3-0 in Cork today in the first round of the Rustlers Perpetual Cup. A goal from Pat Lowry and a brace for Connor Gormley was enough to secure the win for the LYIT. Cross Channel Liverpool say they'll utilise two squads after learning the date of their Carabao Cup quarter final with Aston Villa. The EFL have confirmed the tie will take place on the 17th of December, the day before Liverpool are to play a Club World Cup semi final in Qatar. It's likely they'll field a team of youngsters against Villa with the senior squad to fly out to the Gulf State. Liverpool say alternative dates were discussed, but none were suitable. Well, Jurgen Klopp's side are in Champions League action tonight. They welcoming Group E's bottom side Genk to Anfield. They also play Manchester City this weekend, but Klopp's just looking forward to tonight.
I don't doubt my players at all, so I know that I really would feel a bit embarrassed if I have to tell them, by the way, boys, don't think about Man City already. So I know them well enough, I don't have to do that.
Elsewhere in that group tonight, Napoli, they face Salzburg. And Chelsea, they'll move top of Group H if they complete back-to-back wins over last season's semi-finalist Ajax at Stamford Bridge. Manager Frank Lampard is looking for another good result.
We've had two good results, so another good one would be great for us, of course, with two games left. But we must understand that even though we're at home now, the quality of Ajax and the danger of them is as much, certainly the same, if not more, than the game that we played away, because they're such a good technical team.
Valencia against Lille is the other game in that group. Elsewhere, Everton say Andre Gomes has been discharged from hospital following surgery. The midfielder suffered a fractured dislocation on his right ankle during Sunday's 1-1 draw with Spurs at Goodison Park. The Merseyside clubs say the procedure went extremely well and the 26-year-old will continue his rehab with the Everton medical team. In rugby, Munster have confirmed they're in advanced discussions to sign a pair of Springbok World Cup winners. Centre Damien Delandy and giant lock RG Simon are both poised to join the province in 2020. However, Munster head coach Johan van Graan has insisted no contracts have been signed at this juncture. And Saracens, they say they're shocked and disappointed at being docked 35 points by English Premiership Chiefs. The reigning champions described the penalty as heavy-handed, having been found to have exceeded the league's salary cap. Saracens have been also fined £5 million after it was deemed they breached the £7 million salary limit by £650,000. The reigning European champions say they will appeal. And three senior Connacht players have signed new deals with the province. Tiernan O'Halloran, Sean O'Brien and Tom Farrell have all agreed contract extensions until the summer of 2022. Connacht have also announced the installation of temporary terracing for Freddie's Pro 14 meeting with Leinster at the sports ground. And finally for this evening in boxing, the weigh-ins for the Ulster 9 County Novice Championships for 14, 15, 16 and 17 year olds. That'll take place in the Letterkenny Gym this evening from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Boxing will take place in Oma on Saturday and Sunday. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the two boys who murdered 14-year-old Kildare schoolgirl Anna Creashall have been sentenced. Boy A was sentenced to life with a review to take place after 12 years, while Boy B was handed a 15-year sentence to be reviewed after 8. Anna was 14 years old when she was lured from her home in Leixlip to an abandoned farmhouse in Lucan, where she was killed on May the 14th last year. Her parents, Geraldine and Patrick, spoke outside court today.
Thank you to all of the wonderful people out there that supported us and kept us going.
Forever is not long enough. Please remember Anna and keep her in your heart somewhere.
Gardaí and Donegal say they have been receiving a large volume of scam reports recently and are urging the public to be vigilant of potential scams. With more, here's Daniel Brennan.
Gardaí claim that there has been a high number of scam emails, texts, phone calls and letters being reported to them recently. They say that scammers try to obtain personal information, such as bank account details, credit card numbers and a person's date of birth, often by posing as the victim's bank. Gardaí are asking the public not to respond to these scam messages, and instead to immediately call their bank in order to verify if they were trying to contact them, and for people to never share their personal information over the phone, by text or by other means of communication.
A book of condolence has opened for the late Gay Byrne at the Dunloe Inn at Temple Crone. The legendary broadcaster who died yesterday after long illness hosted the Late Late Show for 37 years. A frequent visitor to Donegal, he made his second home in Tubberkeen, just outside Dunloe, where he spent his free time with his wife and daughters. He compared the Mary from Dunloe Crowning Cabaret for many years and was also an adjudicator. Gay has been described as a very loyal adopted Dunloe man and visited there right up to recent years. The funeral of the broadcaster will take place on Friday. Mass will be held at St Mary's Pro Cathedral on Marlborough Street in Dublin at 12 noon. And finally, Donegal Youth Service have launched a leaflet of their services in Arabic as part of a project that aims to welcome Syrian young people to the county. The leaflet, which is entirely in Arabic, aims to encourage young people to visit Donegal Youth Service and join any part of the service that interests them. The project was created in partnership with the Donegal Local Development Company Resettlement Programme with funding from the Community Foundation for Ireland. Youth worker Frankie McGreevy, who has been working on the project for the past year, hopes that it will be a worthwhile initiative.
We at Donegal Youth Service have been involved in the Worldwide Voices project for the last 12 years, which is basically just international youth work. So the kind of youth work that encourages young people from all over the world to get involved with us. So it's just a natural progression for us to have moved into welcoming the Syrian refugees. So, you know, as well as the leaflet, we've been working directly with the young people on a sports project and getting involved in expressing themselves through music at our party in the park and other events like that.
And we do know that the Donegal Youth Service provide an awful lot of different services to people locally here, but of course you are urging those from Syria who are coming to Donegal to take part in them too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Just, you know, we had the sports programme which was focused mainly on the Syrian community, but the whole idea was then that after they got to know each other and got familiar with us, with our volunteers, that the young people themselves would start coming to the drop-in and getting involved with the Loft and getting involved with all the other Donegal Youth Service projects that we have up there. And that's happened, you know, and it's been wonderful to see.
And I'm sure this leaflet is widely available throughout the county now.
That's right. Yep. We just launched it there yesterday, so we'll be busy distributing it around the county. And as well as that, these days, of course, our online presence would be something that we would use to make sure that the word's out there about the leaflet, about our project.
Weather now staying mainly dry tonight. Winds will be light and there will be mist patches and a slight ground frost as temperatures fall to between 0 and plus 2 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. 138 people have registered at the emergency department since yesterday morning at 8 o'clock until 8 o'clock this morning, which the hospital says is significantly higher than the average number of patients per day. Meanwhile, the general manager of the hospital says he believes it would take an increase of between 3 and 5 million euro to help address the underlying reasons for the sharp increase in the number of patients awaiting beds at the hospital. Sean Murphy told today's 9 till noon show that there's been a 10% increase in activity at the hospital, which requires an average of 15 more beds each day. The Children's Minister has pledged to meet with TUSLA and the Board of ParentStop in Donegal in a bid to prevent its closure. Catherine Sabone pledged that funding would be maintained and efforts redoubled to find additional funding resources. She was responding to a Shannon motion from Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin. And an investigation has been launched following a number of instances of criminal damage in Letterkenny in recent days. A shed was extensively damaged and a car satellite in the Glencar Irish area, while a lorry was destroyed in a blaze at a construction site in the Long Lane area in the early hours of Friday morning last. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 5th of November. The death has taken place in London of Margaret Peggy Doherty, née McGrory, formerly of Bree, Malin Head. Her remains will arrive at the Muff border tomorrow afternoon at approximately 1 o'clock, going on to St Mary's Church, Lag Malin, arriving at approximately 2 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Thursday at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Wake at Carnmalin, Malin Head today and again tomorrow from 3 p.m. The death has occurred of Dan Phil Beg Boyle, Fallagowan, Aranmore Island. His remains are being waked at his daughter Rose's home at Fallagowan. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Aranmore, with interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of James O'Donnell, Tuberkeen, Dunlow. James's remains will repose at Madeline's funeral home from 6 o'clock this evening, with rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal to St Cronus Church, Dunlow, tomorrow morning for 10 o'clock, funeral mass, with interment afterwards in the old cemetery. And the death has occurred of Mary Shields, Trenkeel, Breena. Mary's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Columbus Church, Glen Swilly, with interment afterwards in the family plot at Kilfeek Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please.